Chapter 6. The smell of the harbor drifted into Jesse's condo through the open French doors that led to the small balcony. Jesse carried a tall scotch and soda to the balcony. He stood and looked at the harbor. Darkness had begun to settle, but had not yet enveloped. He could still see Paradise Neck across the harbor and Stiles Island off the tip of the neck. He sipped the scotch. Faintly, to his left, he could hear the music and chatter from the Grey Gull restaurant on the town wharf. In the harbor, a couple of the boats at mooring were lighted and people were having cocktails. He sipped his scotch. Cocktail hour. He was starting to feel centered. He thought about Sonny Randall. He'd see her this weekend, Walton Weeks permitting. There were worse things than being in love with two women. Better than being in love with none. Sonny was perfect for him. Jen was not. Jen was still the promiscuous, self-absorbed adolescent she was too old to be. She cheated on him in Los Angeles. She cheated on him here. Maybe it was time to stop believing the promises. He finished his scotch and made another. In the darkening harbor, a flat-bottomed, square-backed skiff was being rowed toward a big, brightly lit Chris Craft cabin cruiser. A man was rowing. A woman sat in the stern. He thought about Sonny naked. It pleased him, but it led him to think of Jen naked, which led him to think of her naked with other men. He heard a guttural sound, like an animal growling. It came, he realized, from him. With the drink in his left hand, he made a gun out of his right forefinger and thumb and dropped the thumb and said, bang. Below him in the harbor, the tide was coming in. The rowboat was making slow progress against it. He drank some scotch. If Sonny committed to him, he knew she'd be faithful. They'd both be faithful. If he committed to Sonny, which he wished he could do, but he couldn't. What the hell is wrong with Jen? Why is she like that? He shook his head and drank some scotch. Wrong question. Why can't I let her go? Jesse's glass was empty. He went for a refill. As he poured, he looked at his picture of Ozzie Smith. Best glove I ever saw. He remembered, as he did every day, the way his shoulder had hit the ground one night in Pueblo, trying to turn a double play, getting taken out by a hard slide. I'd never have been Ozzie, but I'd have made the show. He walked back to the balcony. The rowboat had reached the Chris Craft. It was empty now, riding gently at the end of a tether line. I'm a pretty good cop. Except for getting fired in L.A. I've been a pretty good cop here. If I don't booze it away, I do booze it away, I'll have to become a full-time drunk. I got nothing else I know how to do. Walton Weeks was going to be a hairball. He could feel it. Cameras, tape recorders, notepads, microphones, CNN, Fox, the networks, local news, court TV, the Globe, the Herald, the New York Times, People, Us, the National Enquirer. Reporting live from Paradise, Massachusetts, this is Every Pretty Face, Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. Jen was an investigative reporter now. Not many weather girls made that jump. Jesse was pretty sure she had made it on her back. Walton Weeks would bring her out. He knew her. She'd be looking for an exclusive, an inside look, her special perspective. She'd use him if she could. He knew her. All he had left was being a cop. I won't let her, Jesse said aloud. He drank, staring out at the harbor. There was no moon. It was too dark now to see the skiff. He held his glass up and looked through it at the still bright light of the party boat. Pale amber. Clear ice. Thick glass. He took in some sea-scented spring night air. Last drink. Then I'll make a sandwich. Maybe have a beer with it. Go to bed. He finished the drink slowly, standing in the dark on the balcony. He listened to the harbor water moving gently below his balcony. I won't give her up, he said. Then he turned and went in and closed the doors behind him.